Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number two tonight. It is such a privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit, and I want to publicly thank Pastor for his leadership and guidance in my life. I came here just about 10 years ago as a college freshman and stepped on this campus and just fell in love with this place, fell in love with Pastor, and I've fallen in love with you. And as I look around this room, I see so many people that I really do love, and I count it an honor to be able to serve the Lord with all of you. I will have to thank someone else publicly as well. I need to thank Brother Hauk publicly because he stole my message Sunday night. I was with the kids Sunday night and watching on the TV, and I saw that Brother Hauk turned to John chapter number one, and I got a little nervous about that. And then I saw the title of his message was about the light of Christmas. The title of my message was Christmas Lights. And I got really nervous there, and I listened very intently. And I decided, well, I think we're going to have to go somewhere else tonight. And so thank you, Brother Hauk, for making my life a little bit more difficult the last couple days. I figured that I would be safe with John chapter 1 for Christmas, but I was wrong, so I decided to go to Luke chapter number 2 to just be safe. So Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 8 tonight, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, I thank you for this special time of year that we can celebrate your birth. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that you would please work in our hearts as we discuss a very familiar Christmas passage tonight. And I pray that you would give us a fresh glimpse of your greatness through this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. During the Christmas season, we see various cliches and catchphrases and ad campaigns all around us. And if we're not careful, we can become numb to a lot of the Bible words that the world has been using this time of year. We see on billboards and Christmas cards and advertisements and songs and Hallmark movies, all of these phrases that are found right in this passage of Luke chapter number 2. We see, even as we go shopping, we see various companies that will borrow some Bible words. I think of the store Macy's that for the last few years has been using the Believe campaign, and they haven't really told us what to believe in, but for the world, that's fine, just to believe in whatever you want. Pampers has borrowed the Silent Night campaign for obvious reasons. Microsoft tells us to give wonder this time of year. Apple tells us to share your gifts. Amazon asks us, can you feel it? And Hershey's Kisses rings off, we wish you a Merry Christmas every year in our television sets. We also see the M&Ms who say, he does exist. Every time of year, and it's we need to be very careful that we do not become numb to some of the phrases and some of the terms and cliches this time of year that we see all around us. Oftentimes, when we compare these cliches to the heartache and trials of real life, these catchphrases seem trite, they become meaningless and empty. Many of us will be experiencing a Christmas for the first time without a specific loved one in our lives. Some of us are going through financial hardships and pressure this time of year. Some of us are going through health hardships, and we hear negative news all around us from around the world, and we experience this meaningless jargon all the time throughout this Christmas season. And we often remind ourselves that life will all go back to normal on December 26th. But very carefully tonight, let us pause and tap the brakes on this busy time of year, and let's go back 2,000 years to where there were no catchphrases. There were no cliches. There was just one message. I think of the shepherds outside of Bethlehem that night. And in my mind's eye, I kind of picture the shepherds on the hillside and perhaps talking about some of the visitors in town for the census. And they've never seen the Bethlehem just so full of people that night. And I don't know if some of them perhaps even fell asleep that night. And maybe there was one watch guard, one night shift. And I can just picture him out there all alone, always just having the same routine and always just having the same time of schedule in his life. And I can picture as he's listening to the crickets out there in the hillside, and I can picture in my mind's eye tonight as the heavens open up and he has one fresh glimpse of an angel. And I'm sure they were very fearful that night. The Bible tells us they were sore afraid as they looked upon that angel. And as the entire heaven landscape burst into song around them, I think about one. That's one of those times that I would have loved to be able to see in the Bible. And very quickly tonight, I would love to be able to take the message from the angel and think about some of these catchphrases, some of these cliches of Christmas and their deeper meaning. The first phrase I see here in verse number 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." First, I see the word joy. And this passage tells us that joy comes from the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 tells us, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And it's very interesting to note in this passage that the Greek word that is used for bring good tidings is the word euangelion, which means to evangelize, and is often translated as the gospel. And the angel comes to the shepherds, and he tells them, "I have a gospel for you." John Wycliffe, in his first English Bible, the first English Bible ever translated this passage as, "I evangelize to you a great joy." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 1 defines the gospel for us tonight. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand." Verse number 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." Jesus used this word as he read the book of Isaiah in the synagogue, the prophecy of the Messiah. In Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18, Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." Verse number 11 is very specific on what this gospel entails. The angel says when this is going to take place. He says this day. He talks about where? In the city of David. And he tells us who? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we need to remember this time of year that everything that happens around Christmas is because of the gospel. And oftentimes we go through the routine and we go through the busy schedules this time of year and we think joy is such a meaningless term this time of year. I'm just trying to keep everything together. I'm trying to make sure I don't go too much into debt this time of year. But if we stop and we think about the reason we should have joy is that it is because of the gospel. Amen. The gospel has changed our lives, and the gospel is what is the catalyst of joy in our hearts. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 9, Isaiah says, "O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." Amen. Romans chapter 10, verse number 15, "And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I think about with the word joy, the preacher named Isaac Watts, who wrote Joy to the World. And I studied his life and found that after less than 2 decades of ministry, Isaac Watts reached a point in his life where he was unable to minister in the church where he was at. And because of his health issues and health problems in 1712, he had to quit ministry altogether and he had to be bedridden in England. However, through this trial, Isaac Watts began a huge project, a huge undertaking to put all of the Psalms into rhyme. And out of this decision came the song Joy to the World from Psalm 98, which was published in 1719 in his book, The Psalms of David. And I believe that's a beautiful example for us tonight of someone who the circumstances were not good for Isaac Watts. He could have been discouraged. He could have been depressed. He could have thought that his entire life and ministry was over. But instead of being discouraged, he decided that he would experience the joy in his life that the gospel brings to all of us. And you know what? Hundreds of years later, we are able to experience that same joy. I don't know what is going on in your life tonight. I don't know the trials, I don't know the circumstances, but I believe just as Isaac Watts had that joy hundreds of years ago, that we can experience that joy through the gospel. His joy was not in what he was doing, his joy was in what God had done for him. Joy cannot come from our family, joy cannot come from our job, joy cannot come from ourselves. Joy only comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're experiencing a Christian life with no joy, perhaps we need to remind ourselves tonight of the gospel, and perhaps we need to go out and share the gospel with others. And there is nothing that brings more joy into the heart of a Christian as the opportunity to share the gospel with someone else. So first we see a phrase or a word that we hear all the time during Christmas, joy, and we realize that joy has a deeper meaning, that joy comes from the gospel. And secondly tonight, I see in verse number 14, the second cliche, verse number 14, the angel says, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We realize from this passage that peace comes from God's glory. Peace comes from God's glory. Now, what type of peace is the angel talking about? Is he talking about peace between man and government, a political peace? In 27 BC, the Pax Romana was instituted in the Roman Empire, and the emperor said that they are free from war, and there was no more war, and there would be peace, a very stronghold of peace in the Roman Empire. The Stoic philosopher Epictetus, now it's Greek to me, I'm sorry, while the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even outward peace. Luke chapter 19, verse number 11 is very clear that Jesus told the disciples that the kingdom was not going to appear immediately, that the disciples thought that Jesus had come to bring this political peace, and that was not the reason that Jesus had come, and Jesus explains that to his disciples. So if it's not political peace, if it's not between man and government, then could it be between man and man? Could it be a social peace? But Luke chapter 12, verse number 51 is very clear in Jesus' own words. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. So Jesus was very clear. I'm not here to bring everyone together under one umbrella. I'm not here to bring social peace. So what kind of peace are we talking about? Well, it's a peace between God and man. It's an inward peace. Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. John 14, 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But where does this inward peace come from? Well, the angels told us in Luke chapter number 2. Now, like in most Hebrew poetry, this first hymn, the Christmas hymn that the angels sang that night has many parallels and contrasts to it. You can contrast the word God and men, that there's glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You can contrast the word highest and earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And we can parallel the two words, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You see, this word glory is doxa, also translated as honor, praise, worship. The root word is very interesting to me. It's a verb which means to think or suppose. I believe in this word, the word phrases that we have in the Greek is telling us that we need to suppose and meditate and think upon the glory and the praise and the greatness of God. And in that alone will you have peace in your heart. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in 1867 wrote a very popular Christmas poem that was later put to music. The poem was, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." He writes, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. However, in stanza number 2, he says, I thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's very tempting for us to look around at our world today and think, where's the peace? We talk about the Prince of Peace. We talk about the message of the angels. We see the word peace everywhere on our Christmas cards and everywhere on our billboards this time of year. But where is the peace? Well, Longfellow answered his own question in stanza number 4. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Listen to the last stanza. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen. Romans chapter 5 is very clear how we can have that peace tonight. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, God's peace is very closely connected to the last catchphrase we have tonight, which is goodwill. Back in verse number 14, he says, peace on earth, comma, goodwill toward men. This word goodwill is not a word that we usually use very often in everyday conversation, and so I had to look up what this word was actually communicating, and it's the word eudokia, often translated as good pleasure in the Bible. During the baptism of Christ, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 17 says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the same Greek word. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Ephesians 1:9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in his heart. And we can understand tonight that this good pleasure, this goodwill that God wants to bestow upon us is found through a gift. The angel was very clear. Goodwill toward men. This is contrasting man's sinfulness and contrasting how that we are undeserving of God's goodwill. Isaiah 64:6 tells us, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there are even some liberal scholars that would change this verse because they would say something like, there's no way that God could give goodwill to a sinful man, but I am so thankful tonight that we serve a God who loves us, and we serve a God who gives us his grace and his goodwill, though we don't deserve it. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him according to the grace of our God and this Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Put very simply tonight, that joy, that peace, that goodwill all comes from the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can rejoice tonight that on that night 2,000 years ago, that the angel came to the shepherds and said, there's going to be true joy in your life now. There's going to be true peace, and there's going to be true goodwill in your life through the Savior that is born. Now, on Sunday, as I was finishing up my class in the choir room with the kids, one of the first grade boys, his name was Caleb, he came up to me after the rally, and he wanted to give me a present. So I opened up the present, and inside was a very special present, this toy. Now, I looked at it, and I really did not understand the significance of this toy. And later that night, I found out from a very well-known source, aka his mom, that this was not only Caleb's toy that he wanted to give to me, or not only a toy that he bought for me, but this was his favorite toy that Caleb wanted to give to his Sunday school teacher. Well, I'm going to ask Caleb to come up to the platform tonight. I believe Caleb's in here. Caleb, come on up right up here. And I just want to thank you, first of all, for giving me your favorite toy. It really meant a lot to me that you would give me this toy that was your favorite to play with. But I want you to know something. Whenever you give God something that is so dear to you, God has a reward for you. And I wanted to publicly do a trade. There, yep. I didn't have to say that twice. Let's turn it around so everyone can see. Christmas morning has come early. Now, Caleb, I wanted to teach you a very valuable lesson. I wanted to show you that whenever you give God a gift, whenever you give God your life and you give God your heart, that God always has true joy and true peace and goodwill that He is going to shower into your life. And I hope that this is the beginning of you giving God all of your life, everything that is so precious to you, because when God has it, He can do so much more. And I hope that you live a life full of joy and peace and goodwill and service to the Lord. Let's thank Caleb for his testimony and see if he can carry this back to his seat. You know, this could be an illustration for any first grader in the room, but as adults, we can learn from this as well. As adults, oftentimes we think, man, I don't know if I'm going to give up this part of my life. I don't know if I'm going to do this or give that. I don't know if I'm going to give my time. I don't know if I'm going to give my tithe. I don't know if I'm going to give all of myself to Jesus. I'm not sure what He could do, but listen very carefully tonight. Listen very carefully to my words. Whenever we give God our life and we give God our all, the person of Jesus Christ will give us true joy and true peace and true goodwill like we have never experienced before. And in my book, that's a whole lot more priceless than anything that this world has to offer. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.